record on this computer.
Okay, we can get started. I have a list of questions that people submitted to Professor Little. Thank you. I'm going to start with these first, and then if we have time, if anybody has last minute questions, just feel free to like just lightning round, like throw them at me. So it's 6:01, so I'll start. My name is Catherine. Some of you I've spoken to this semester, some of you I haven't. I'm one of four alumni mentors this year. We're helping out with the intro, GIS classes. If anyone needs extra help or just wants to bounce project ideas off of, it's a weird semester again with the pandemic, so we are here to help. This is the first ever, I think this is my idea, like for the first time ever, MCC, GIS, Ask Me Anything. So I'm going to kick it off, and then later in the semester, towards the end, one of the other three alumni mentors will be doing the same thing, and I'll be kind of moderating. They all have different jobs where GIS has taken them, so mine is just one side of it. I work currently at Eagle View. Some of you might know about Eagle View, some of you might not. It's an aerial imagery company pretty much in Henrietta. It's at the corner of West Henrietta and Calkins. Pilots fly, mostly county municipal governments. They sign a contract and get high resolution imagery. So that would be like 9-inch or better resolution imagery, raster data, ortho imagery that they can use for whatever they need it for. Some of the data that you're probably working with is Landsat or other stuff. It's like 30 meters. So 9-inch is really good. A lot of people get 3-inch, which is even better. So it's pretty cool. In the past, I worked in the municipal side of things at the town of Henrietta. And I also worked downtown in Rochester at the Genesee Finger Lakes Regional Planning Council, which was really interesting. Instead of working for like one county, I worked basically for 9 counties. A lot of stakeholders involved. And before that, I first went to Geneseo for my bachelor's. I ended up with a Bachelor of Arts in Geography. I thought I was really interested in urban planning, so I went to grad school. I wanted to still leave it open because a lot of planning positions, they want someone with a degree in planning, but they also say or related field. That related field is often geography, so that way it was not like pigeonholed into one thing if it didn't work out. Which is good because in grad school, I found I really liked GIS more. And when I worked at the Planning Council, I found I really liked GIS more. So I went to grad school in Canada. Definitely recommend that. We could talk about that later. And then love GIS so much that I actually heard Professor Little speak about this certificate program at MCC, the GIST program, at the New York State GIS Association conference. They hold it every other year, different place across the state. Probably not gonna happen in the near future because of the way the world is now, but it was at Lake Placid when I went in 2017 and heard Professor Little speak and thought the program sounded fun. And here we are. So I graduated in May from the certificate program, actually this past May, and I'm signed on to work with Professor Little, Professor Pierce, Wayne Howard, I'm not sure if any of you know him, and another professor from Brockport to develop 3 new courses to make the GIST program all online, which we're kind of getting there anyways, to make an associate's degree, a full 2-year program for GIS. at MCC, also fully online, to do this mentoring thing for all of you, just to help students whenever they need it and to really like get you all fired up about GIS and where it can take you. Yeah, so let me get into some questions. First, I'll read the question and then I'll answer it so you all know. The first question is, in your view, as one progresses through GIS employment opportunities with greater responsibilities, like those requiring more experience, is one typically expected to work with programming languages more so than the actual GIS interface? Or does GIS software tend to be so robust that scripting and programming is relegated only to specific kinds of work? Programming, I think, is becoming more of a desire from future employers. That's actually the class I'm trying to develop to teach spring, I think spring 22, which would be an intro to geospatial programming class at MCC. I'm learning it as I go. I have really no scripting background, so in my job currently, it doesn't put me at a disadvantage, but it did when I was applying for jobs actually last winter. I applied for a GIS position at Bergman Associates, which is downtown, I interviewed, I thought I like nailed it, but they actually went with someone who had more programming background, which sucks for me, but it worked out because now I'm still employed. But if you can learn programming or scripting, like it'll definitely put you ahead of the game. But the second part of the question, more so than the actual GIS software. At my job, it's a perk, but it's not a requirement. So I still use GIS. There are a few folks who use Python to make our jobs easier, but I'm still using ArcGIS every day. So that works out. This GIS software tends to be so robust that scripting is only relegated to specific kinds of work. Yes, so I'm still doing GIS. Other people can do scripting. ArcGIS Desktop and ArcPro both have a function within it to do some basic kind of programming, which is Model Builder. I don't know if you probably haven't gotten there yet in your classes. That's more of like an advanced thing. So there's Model Builder, and then there's actually ArcPy, which is like ArcPython within it. So you can still use GIS while still programming. So you can do both. Have you found that there's any kind of helpful methodology for determining the appropriate scale and scope of a mapping or remote sensing project? It seems like there is always an endless number of scales at which one could focus, and it's not always clear where to determine the boundaries at which one should operate. Good question. Always kind of a struggle to think of what to do for your final project. I've always just done something I'm interested in. So when I was in Geneseo, I'm a huge Boston Bruins fan. Also just like Boston in general. So I did a project on crime in Boston, just because I like Boston and I could find the data. At MCC, I did a project on, what was my first project? Oh, flooding along the Genesee River. So it was just data that I could find and then just made some simple maps. And again, that was kind of local. For cartography, I don't think any of you are in cartography right now, but you have to make like a big map and then smaller maps, and it's all on one page, and they all have to have the same theme. I did that on just ice rinks in the US. Cool, someone is in cartography. So because I like hockey, I wanted to do something hockey themed and found some. It was kind of old data, but it was ice rinks in the US, just point data. So I used that as the main map and then did like other NHL like hockey themed maps around it. So really, I would say start with something you're interested in and see if you can find data. If you do something in New York State, you can look at the GIS, the New York State GIS Clearinghouse. They have a lot of publicly available data, like roads, boundaries, points of interest. There's also, I think it's called POI Factory, Points of Interest, POI Factory. We use that in spatial analysis, but that's actually the website that I use to get the ice rink data. So they just have random data sets. I think they have like Dunkin' Donuts across the country, like just random sets. And if you find something you're interested in, you can go there and, or think of something you're interested in, go there, see if they have data and then go from there. So it's really up to you. There's no like set methodology. Hope that helps. What software should we know for employment and what to look for in colleges if I want to be a meteorologist with a GIS background? Good question. I don't know much about if you want to be a meteorologist, but I definitely recommend knowing basics of ArcGIS because that's still like meteorology is still like a subfield of geography. And all those like National Weather Service and Hurricane Center, I think National Hurricane Center, like they all use maps every day to track stuff. So definitely stay up to date on your GIS and just be able to think spatially. There actually at Eagle View, there is somebody who works there that is in charge of our disaster response program. So they're basically like the in-house meteorologist and they're tracking all of the like national weather like alerts and when we're gearing up, a hurricane might hit, they're really tracking stuff and sending updates and all those weather like models. But they also, they use ARC to, they find like for a tornado, they find the path that a tornado hit or they find the cone of uncertainty for where a hurricane might hit and then kind of translate that into a shapefile in ARC. And then that's the basis for flight planning and ultimately like delivering imagery to counties. So that ties back into just knowing basic ArcGIS. So definitely if you're not in the geography or the GIST program at MCC, if you have the availability in your schedule to take more classes, I definitely recommend it. If you are in the program, great. Recommend that you stay in it and continue to take those. For colleges, I would look for like climatology programs or atmospheric, like, I don't know, because I didn't go to school for meteorology. It's hard to speak on that, but climatology or like atmosphere and weather courses, things like that. Next question. What, if any, was the most difficult learning curve faced when starting your career in GIS? For starting my professional career, like not in grad school anymore, I would say understanding that some of the projects I did and analysis I did in school aren't really used in the real world because they're expensive. So ESRI is like the industry standard for GIS programs. ArcGIS is expensive and a lot of governments are low income, is it a phrase I would use. So budgets are tight and they can't afford a lot of the extensions that we use in school. I had a lot of good ideas at the planning council for using spatial analyst extension to do some like raster work and stuff like that. But if they don't have the extension, you can't really do it. So that kind of sucked. But then there's other stuff you can do. So it's just kind of figuring out what tools you have available and then how to go from there. What advice would you give to a student who is on the fence about considering finding a job in GIS? I would still apply. I would definitely have a resume that's like GIS focused, and then your basic resume, the GIS focused one, I would just call out like if you know how to use ArcGIS Desktop and ArcGIS Pro, list that as like skills. If you are in cartography, I would list QGIS on your resume as a skill or like a program you know how to use. I think the GIS like job market is only going to continue to grow. You can use it in, especially in public health, like with the coronavirus, all of the, maybe not all, but a lot of the public health officials with their, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, online dashboards, I guess, that had number of cases and like, here's the epicenter of the outbreak and stuff like that. They're pretty much using Esri software to make those. So if you're interested in public health, you can find a way to use GIS there. Humanitarian stuff. I know the MCC Mapping Club does a lot of stuff that's tied into like things that Red Cross would use, or like OpenStreetMap uses it. And government work might sound kind of boring, especially if you're in like your first year at college, but they do some pretty cool maps with like mapping where to add a bike path or like where to add a new bike lane in the city and things like that. So if you're on the fence, but you have a job like posting that you're looking at and you're not sure, I would just apply anyways. The worst they'll do is not call you, which there's worse things in life. Next question. Do you have any experience with GIS in a business setting? I'm a business major, but if I were to continue pursuing GIS, I think I'd like to work in an area where the two intersect. Not necessarily interested in humanitarian or environmental side. Totally understand. Any information, greatly appreciated. Yes, Eagle View is a private business. The like driving force there, although we are helping people, is sales. So I'm working with salespeople. I'm working with HR people. I'm working with customers directly. They might not always be the most GIS savvy customers, so I have to like kind of translate what we're doing to them. The salespeople aren't naturally GIS people, so we work together to kind of figure it out. Eagle View is like kind of they're a tech company, but they're really at the heart of it, they're an aerial imagery company, so that's kind of different. But I know like when you go shopping or when you went shopping pre-COVID, if you were to go like to the register and you buy something and they ask for your zip code, seems like a weird question, but there's probably a GIS person who ultimately takes that and they put in all the zip codes and see where people are coming from, and then they could use that to see like if they should open a new store there or what like the demographics are of that area, if it's worth it to open a new store. They can map out like competition and see where similar vendors are. I know for Wegmans, somebody actually that was in the GIS or the Digital Earth class, I think it was Digital Earth last semester, they were, their final project was making maps for Wegmans on COVID cases in Monroe County. I think, no, sorry, not in Monroe County, where along the, or within the states that Wegmans has stores. So like that's a business that was using GIS to examine stuff. Like you could apply it to anything. What did I do in my previous jobs as a GIS tech and as the GIS planner? For the town of Henrietta, I was in the engineering and planning department. So I was doing a lot of GPS work, which was really nice to go outside all the time and not sit at a desk forever. But I would go to, like, they were building a new library, which is really nice now that it's done. But when they were building it, I would go out and use this really cool surveying GPS unit and stake points and like collect the coordinates for where the new like sewer was supposed to be or like the fire hydrant and things like that. And then we would take those coordinates and input them into ArcMap, or often it was into AutoCAD to see, to add them to the engineering drawings for the library, but also to map them in ArcMap. I did a lot of stormwater management work. So I was like mapping out all of the town owned, they're owned by an easement, stormwater ponds, driving around in a town car to different sanitary sewer manholes based on old engineering plans to see if the sewer was really there, getting the coordinates. Sounds kind of boring, but it was really fun. A lot of fun stuff. At the planning council, I did make some really cool maps. I made one on request for Wyoming County for the census tracts, I think, or blocks, I can't remember, some census unit within the county that were going to be getting broadband internet. There was funding awarded by the governor to various rural areas that would, they would use the money to get internet because some of those rural areas don't have it. So that was fun to map and had a direct impact on the community, but it was mostly, mostly census work because at the time, well, the census is wrapping up now, but when I worked there, we were gearing up for the, like the pre-census. My internet is unstable, so I'm going to turn my camera off for a second. Hopefully it doesn't. That seems to help sometimes. But we were just making sure that the U.S. Census Bureau had every single address, residential address, of every residential like structure in the 9-county region. So kind of boring and kind of why I left. Do I know what local colleges offer GIS programs or majors, specifically local private colleges? I don't. I went to SUNY Geneseo. I don't really know much about the private schools. I was waitlisted at U of R and rejected at Cornell. I don't know why I applied there. I know that UB, the University of Buffalo, has a really good GIS major, like program. I know at least one person who went there that works at Eagle View. Let me turn my camera back on. I know one person that went to MCC and is now going there, which is Ani. She's also one of the alumni mentors. And then I know somebody who is currently in it and also went to MCC. His name is Matt Morris, but he graduated a couple years ago. So doesn't answer your question about private schools. Sorry, but SUNY schools are the way to go. We're also getting close to 6:30. If people have to jump off, that's totally fine. I'm happy to stay here and chat still. I open hours for the mentoring start at 7, so I'm around anyways, but I'll keep going, and if people have to leave, that's has having the GIST certificate opened more opportunities, offered greater advancement? For me, not really, just because I did it for fun and I already had like the degrees I needed. It has definitely, this ties into the second question, which was, which aspects of the certificate do you use most frequently? The remote sensing class was definitely the most useful class that I took at MCC. We didn't have anything like that at Geneseo when I was there. It may have changed, so nothing against Geneseo, but when I was there, there was no separate remote sensing class. So everything I do at Eagle View, like the basis of it, is remote sensing, working with different resolutions of aerial imagery, ortho mosaics, different band combinations. Customers can sometimes get a regular RGB mosaic, red, green, blue band combination, and an infrared mosaic. So like that remote sensing class really, really helped with that. But I also know people that have the certificate and didn't have 2 degrees already. There was one person also at Eagle View who was in the same program who now is going to move on to a new role, I think as their GIS analyst? No, something to do with GIS and surveying. So that's, I'm sure the certificate has opened doors for that person. How do I utilize geospatial technology in my current position? And how did this course affect my career decision? At my old job, I loved working for the town of Henrietta. Definitely recommend working there if they have any openings. But I thought that doing the MCC program plus already having a bachelor's and a master's, I thought I could be doing more like mid-level jobs, not entry-level. It's because like entry-level requires less experience. And I was like at the point where I thought I could be doing more challenging stuff, even though I loved working there. So that influenced a career decision that I was just gaining more knowledge and having more experience. I utilize geospatial technology daily in my job, using ArcMap to review flight grids for customers, basically the area that they want to fly, making sure that it meets our standards. And then that map that I approve ultimately goes into their contract and is the basis for flight planning and is also the basis for their mosaic, like ortho imagery delivery, which is other geospatial stuff. So it's daily. Where do I see geospatial technology heading in the future? I think it will just continue to be part of our lives and even more important as we're kind of like in a virtual world now. Like I said, with the COVID dashboards, like that's just an easy example of using it. Your phone, like using maps, you're not mapping, like you're not making your own map in ArcMap and like printing it out, but that's GIS in a basic sense. So I think it'll just keep growing. What do I see as the biggest change in geospatial tech in the future? Do I see it becoming more commonplace, more user-friendly? Biggest change, I think, personally, I think would be integration with programming. Just those becoming even more closely knit and intertwined. I think, yes, it will become more commonplace. Definitely sets you ahead, like at Eagleview. Starting there with no GIS background would be way more difficult, in my opinion, than it was starting with some background. More user-friendly, I think, yes. I'm more of an ArcGIS desktop person, which some of you are learning, and some of you are learning Pro. I think that I've kind of been resisting the switch to Pro just because I like to use desktop. I know where everything is, but I think ArcPro is more user-friendly. It looks kind of more like an Excel or like a Microsoft Word, like ribbon at the top. So I think that makes it more user-friendly. Last question printed out. I know some people left, but I'll answer in the chat too. Biggest hurdle for someone looking to get into the geospatial career field? Experience. That's kind of a hurdle for any field though. But even entry-level jobs want like 2 years of experience. So if you can get involved in, if you have time and if it fits into your life, I know things, like I said, things are weird now with being so virtual, but the Mapping Club is a really great way to build experience, because even if you're not in a leadership role, what they do with the mapathons is humanitarian volunteering, and it's mapping. So that'll help build your experience. And also a hurdle might be if you don't have any Python or programming experience. It just depends on the job. Some people don't care, and some jobs, even though they say it's preferred, they want someone with it. So things to think about. Question from the chat. I don't think this person is here still, but with all your years in this field, what is your ambition to do in the long run? Great question. I don't know. I always wanted to be a planner, and now I'm a project manager. In the long run, maybe someday I would have my own like consulting firm, some sort of hybrid between GIS and planning, but not as much paper pushing as planning can be. Like just making maps for people who want maps, that's really what I like, but just don't have time to think about that. So good question. I will continue to think about that. This person I think is still here. Does the military have a GIS team? Yes-ish. There is the NGA, the National, I think it's the National Geospatial Alliance, NGA is the acronym. They're like the FBI of mapping, I'm pretty sure. They were at, if you have the chance, although I don't know what the future looks like with conferences, but the Association of American Geographers, AAG, they normally, in a normal world, have a conference every year. The country or the city that it's held varies, but NGA is always there. I gave them my resume. They did not call me, but the military, like with drones, that's right there. That's GIS stuff. There was somebody in a different class last year who was in the military doing GIS stuff. So working with raster data and like high-res imagery, there is definitely the need for it in the military. What other geospatial technology do you use at your job regularly besides GIS? That's pretty much it. There's some internal software, like EagleView created internal software. There's one that it's kind of like a GIS, but and you can add shapefiles to it, but it doesn't really do anything else. It's mostly used for flight planning, which I don't do. We don't really use QGIS. We don't really, I mean, I've used Google Earth for a couple things, but it's mostly just ArcGIS desktop to view the ortho imagery. There's also this internal platform. It's online. It's called Connect Explorer, but it's for customers who like pay. It's part of their thing, part of their contract, and they can view their imagery through there. And there's a way to, I think they have to pay for it, but you can sync it up to your own like desktop version of ArcGIS. There's like an add-in, but that all like costs money for EagleView. But I do use that, so that counts. Just you guys couldn't use it. Going to school for computer information system, background in computer security. Cool. Do you think that GIS can tie into this or be a good build off to get a certificate in as well? Yes. When I was at the planning council downtown, I, for some reason, was also like the IT person. I don't have an IT background. I can do like basic troubleshooting stuff. We all know how to use Google. That was really what I was doing. I can update software, that's fine, but anything beyond that, like, I can't really do. But if you can do computer information plus GIS, you will be like really set for some jobs. There's definitely a perfect tie-in for that. If you have time to do both, def recommend. Can you use GIS to start your own business? Yes. For example, have people ask me to make maps and I create them for money? No, not personally, but there are people out there that is their business. People ask them to make maps and they make them. That ties into the other person's question of what would be my goal. That would be my goal. But yes, that's one way to do it. It's just, then you have to go through the process of setting up your own business and legal, all the stuff that goes with that. Where and how long did you go to school for to get where you are now? I went to school in Geneseo, SUNY Geneseo, Go Knights. I went there for 4 years, but I didn't find geography until my third year. And then I went to grad school in Canada for 2 years and then got the planning job. Then I switched to town of Henrietta, but then I was also doing the certificate program. So it feels like I've been in school for years, like forever. But there are people in my department at EagleView as project managers who just have a bachelor's. So really just, it's how you like market yourself and interview and have relevant experience. All of that ties in together. Really, I did the MCC program for fun because I'm like a nerd, but it's definitely been a game changer, like I said, with the remote sensing class, and it opened up opportunities for travel. Like, I was able to participate in this cool hybrid study abroad last year to work with students in Colombia, and we made a mapping app online through ArcGIS Online, and it tied into our phones on ArcGIS Collector. It's an app. And then the students from MCC went to Columbia in April last year and went into these like mangrove forests and collected water quality data. So that was like really cool. Person who left, you're welcome. Will the recording be available? I will figure that out. This is my first time recording Zoom, but I will make sure this eventually gets to Professor Little and Professor Pierce to share. Everyone left. Question, I think you're still here. Why is geography important in a field such as law enforcement? You can map, like, definitely crime statistics are useful to have mapped in a GIS so you can see where, I mean, correlation doesn't equal causation, but if you have a neighborhood that's really high in like carjackings, maybe you have an extra police officer there just to like, I don't know, be on the lookout. I don't want to say intimidate people, that's not the right word, but kind of like encourage people not to steal cars. You could also see for like, I'm trying to think of another example, like if you had time of day versus crime versus like demographics, and you had that all mapped out in a like different series of maps, you could see like where you need to station more officers or open a new precinct or something like that. Definitely mapping crime statistics is its own, it could be its own class. RPD has some stats. I think they actually have their own online map, Rochester Police Department. I don't have the website offhand, but if you just Google like Rochester PD map crime or something, you'll find their map. It's kind of interesting to zoom in and out. Any idea how to find more information about the mapping club? Yes, email Professor Little. I believe his email is just jlittle, L-I-T-T-L-E, at monroecc.edu. He is like the, what's the word? Like faculty advisor for the mapping club. And he's a really great resource in general. Mapping Club used to have two events per semester, but I don't know how it's working with COVID. I'm sure there will be something online soon. Oh, also, who said that? Jay, and then later Joy said, with, I think still here, she's part of it. Ah, she answered the question. Cool, teamwork. Cool. That, oh wait, there's more questions. Thank you. Oh, everyone said thanks. You're welcome. If anyone else has any like last minute questions, I'm here to hang out, but it looks like that's all everyone had. So that's all I have. Thank you so much for spending 45 minutes with me. I hope some of it was useful. Also, the tidbit about grad school, if anyone's interested, I went to Canada because for geography specifically, so this doesn't apply to other fields, but geography, if you're interested, I went to Canada because you did not have to take the GRE, the grad school entrance exam. And geography, again, not all fields, but geography was often funded. So they like pay you to go to their school. And I went to the University of Western Ontario. It also depends on advisors who have time to take on another student and if your interests align. But I found a good two advisors actually who were great. And they covered my whole tuition, like the school covered my tuition. So grad school is really expensive, but going to Canada is one way to kind of not have as much student loans as if you were to go in the US. at least in my experience, again, everyone's experience is different. Just love to tell people about Canada. Yeah, that's all I got. So you guys are free to go. I'm going to turn my camera off and stop recording because at 7, I'm still going to be here for some online mentoring if you have questions. So yeah, thanks everyone. Good questions.